The Faith Element Podcast, Episode 7.23, Two Trees, focusing on the text for June 7, 2015. Welcome to the first Faith Element Podcast. I'm David Cassidy, one of the co-founders of Faith Lab, and I'll be your host for this episode.
Well, welcome to the first Faith Element Podcast. We're excited to be with you, and with me here, we have Nikki Hardiman, who you already know if you watch the Faith Element Bible Background video. She's the writer and on-screen personality for that video for Faith Element, and is also a minister in Forsyth, Georgia. Hi, Nikki.
Hey, glad to be here.
And so did I pronounce Forsyth correctly? How do we do that?
Well, if you are from Forsyth, you have to think of it as F-E-R, Forsyth, Georgia.
Okay. So. All right. Makes sense. I want to get that correct.
Yeah.
Also with us, we have Bert Montgomery. Bert is an author, pastor, and professor in Starkville, Mississippi. Hey, Bert.
Hi. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. So, are you still teaching, or have you finished?
Finished up this week. Actually, got my final grade submitted last night. All so right. I'm free until July.
Are you the kind of teacher that or professor that students want to take?
Yes. I teach intro level courses, and especially when they get to their junior year and need an extra humanities, they want to take me.
Okay.
Most of them.
Well, we're glad you're here, Bert. And then we also have with us today Daniel Glaze. Daniel is a husband, father, and pastor from Eastern North Carolina. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, David. Thanks for inviting me. And since we're doing pronunciation lessons on our hometowns, I'm from Ahoskie, North Carolina.
Wonderful. Ahoskie. Now, where is Ahoskie?
Northeastern corner of the state. If you sort of draw a line down from Norfolk, Virginia, and in from the Outer Banks, you'll find us.
Awesome. Okay, so you're not too far from the beach.
No, not at all. Not as the crow flies, but as you drive, it takes you a little while. But
okay.
We're actually heading there next weekend, so it's just a little jaunt over there.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to have each of you with us. I'd like to say just a word about the purpose or the function of this podcast. It really is an opportunity for a few folks to gather together and to talk about a text. In this case, we're going to be looking each podcast episode. We'll take a look at a particular text that's going to be studied on a given Sunday in the Faith Element curriculum. So if you're following along or using the Faith Element Bible study curriculum, then hopefully the podcast is maybe a source of additional ideas, conversation, or perhaps it's your way of beginning to engage the passage that's the focus for the day. Or if you don't use Faith Element at all, maybe this podcast is a place for you just to begin to do some personal Bible study and to connect with text and begin to perhaps think in some new ways about even familiar passages. So speaking of a familiar passage, today I believe, Nikki, we actually are beginning with, a great passage to begin a podcast with. Talk to us a little bit, if you will, about the passage we're going to be talking about today.
Sure, David. So the text we're looking at is Genesis 3. We're going almost all the way back to the beginning. It's Genesis 3, verses 1 through 19. And this is a really familiar text to most of us. A lot of people refer to it as the fall. And it's the story of when God has told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that they can eat of any fruit in the garden except for that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they abide by that for a while. And then this serpent, we are told, comes along and makes the woman question God's instruction, asks some questions, and causes her to ask her own questions, and she ends up eating from this tree, even though she's been told not to. And so then she takes it to Adam, and Adam also eats from the tree, and when they do, they remember they weren't supposed to, and they realize that they're naked, and so they go and hide from God. God shows up in the garden, looks for them. I always find that part curious. God seems to not know where Adam and Eve are. wondering. Yeah. He's looking for them. I love that that piece. So God's looking for Adam and Eve, calling out for them, and he wants to know what's happened. Who told you that you were naked? Why are you hiding from me? And so they confess what they have done, and so God hands down the consequences of these actions, and so we're told the serpent is going to have to crawl on the ground, and Adam and Eve receive their own consequences, and then the primary one is that they are then told they have to leave the garden, and so they leave the garden, and so that's the story that we're working with today. I mean, I think it's a great place to start. I think it's a wonderful place to start.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a really familiar passage. And that can be good and bad, in the sense that sometimes we either overlook things that maybe we should notice because we've heard it too much, or maybe it's been told to us in certain ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, what has been your experience with this text in terms of how it's been presented?
Growing up in the church and Sunday school, Bible school, I mean, just being in church since I was born, it's basically been pretty much the same story. God creates a man and woman, tells them not to do something, they do it, and then we've been paying for it ever since. And that sort of sets up the whole, the whole thing. Even when you get into the New Testament and Paul, it talks about Adam again, and Jesus being the second Adam. And so we always have this framework, with at least the way I've grown up in my tradition, always have this framework of it sets the stage of this disastrous decision of people to go their own way, and that sets everything into motion that's been going on for thousands of years now.
Yeah.
And also, I think because of the way we've approached this text and the way we've sort of communally interpreted it, I think somewhat incorrectly, we also can't overlook the fact that Eve has really gotten a bad rap here. Eve is sort of seen as the one who set it all in motion, and these are adults we're talking about, and I think that needs to be recast as well.
I'm glad you said that, Daniel. Thanks.
Yeah, that reminds me of the late Will Campbell. He used to argue, and I guess in the 1980s when people were arguing about the role of women in the church and leadership, and they would say, that Eve was the first to sin, and therefore you can't trust women. And Will Campbell said, well, if that's true, then Eve was also the first to receive grace, so we should trust her more, women more with grace, and leading us in redemption.
Yeah, it can go both ways, can't it?
There you go. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's so much in this passage that's interesting. Some of our conversation prior to this podcast, we were talking some about how, most of us here are parents, how the parenting aspect of this maybe is interesting.
If I may, David, I just made a few comments before we went live here that I can't help but sometimes view Scripture through the lens of being a parent. That's such a big part of my life with two daughters, and I think that often helps me, at least being a pastor, but also as someone who tries to study Scripture, to see the way God has parented us throughout history. And I'm always sort of struck whenever I'm studying this in groups, when people will almost somehow be surprised that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. God was so explicit in the instructions. How could they disobey? Well, any one of us who are parents, we tell our children to do something or not to do something. We turn our backs, and it is done. I saw this one coming a mile away. But yeah. But I also see the incredible parenting that God does in this Scripture in some renegotiation after that, and hopefully we can talk about that more as we get through this. But that initial slip up that Adam and Eve have is just as close to human nature as it comes, I think.
Yeah, and I'll add, it was a few years ago when I was talking with my rabbi friend, who suggested from his perspective, as he'll put it, He's Jewish. It's his before it was mine anyway. So, but you know, he reminds us that the whole idea of original sin is from Augustine, and that's way after even the New Testament was written. And so that from his perspective, it's a story of parenting and children reaching an age where, like, as Daniel was saying, you know, all children grow up, and there's a stage of losing an innocence and becoming responsible for your choices. And you make good choices, you make bad choices, and that's not necessarily evil things to do. I mean, it's just part of life. The rabbi said he doesn't view this story as God kicking Adam and Eve out of the garden as punishment, because God never intended them for them to stay there forever, any more than we would intend for our children to remain 3 or 4 years old and living in our house and us taking care of them all the time. You have to let them grow, give them responsibility, and let them get burned and let them get hurt, let them fall down, let them get up. And that was an eye-opening thing for me when he shared that with me.
Nikki, I was sort of struck by, and maybe we can talk about this. I'd like to hear it was really an intriguing statement. If you had to give up your choice, the awareness of right and wrong, the richness of life for immortality, I'm not sure what I would choose. When I read that, I heard that as a really real statement. I don't know that I had thought about it in those terms, but I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, every time I sit down to work on a passage for Faith Element, you know, sometimes there's a passage that feels easy, like I know exactly where I connect to it. Sometimes I don't know that I feel like I never make a connection. This one, it took a while, but I was doing something tedious one night, and I was thinking over the passage and working through it. And I mean, I had thought about two trees before, but the idea that there were two prominent trees in the garden really stuck out to me. I realized that there was this gift of seemingly immortality in the tree of life. But in order to keep that, Adam and Eve could not have access to the tree of knowledge. And maybe that's the way God intended it. I tend to agree with Bert's rabbi friend. I don't know that that's got what God intended. Maybe the tree was there to be chosen eventually anyway. And I just realized that when we have experiences that open our eyes, that change us, be that, you know, all of the eye-opening experiences you have of adolescence, or maybe experiences of grief when you learn what it means to lose someone, or when you learn what it means to make an awful mistake or hurt someone. Once you learn those things, you can't unlearn them. That you cannot take away those lessons. And Adam and Eve could never take away what they learned when they ate from the tree. It occurred to me that maybe part of what we have happening in this passage is maybe immortality was there to be had, but at what price? I mean, I really don't know what I would choose. This movie has come up for me a couple of times lately. I'm a girl from the South. I love Steel Magnolias. And there's that great scene when Julia Roberts as Shelby is talking to her mother, Malin, and Malin's worried because Shelby's pregnant, and she's worried what that will do to her and her diabetes. And she's a doting mother. She's concerned for her child. And Shelby says, I'd rather have 30 minutes of something wonderful than a lifetime of nothing special. And all of those experiences that we have in life that teach us and open our eyes, I don't think I'd want to give those up. And I guess that's what I was thinking about when I was thinking about this passage.
Well, thank you for sharing that. When I was hearing you talk and sharing that point in that movie, it sort of reminds me of the fact, you know, that we sometimes have very difficult things that happen in our lives, really awful, tragic things that come up. Sometimes it's because of our own choosing. Sometimes it's not. But if we hang in there and we trust in the goodness and nourishment of God, there can be tremendous blessing to be had as well. And one thing I love, whether this was God's intention for Adam and Eve to stay in the garden or to move on out, I'm not sure. I would want to chew on that a little bit more. But even still, even though Adam and Eve chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God still provided a way. They were not dead on the spot. God still, in wanting to love and provide, gave them a way. And so I guess I thought, even from moments in my own life when I've made some choices that ended up being less than healthy or some difficult circumstances in my own life, you know, I wouldn't choose to relive those necessarily, but there are tremendous blessings even still. When I was in college, my folks divorced, and that was very difficult for me. I still don't know that I could say that was God's intention for our family, but now I have two parents who are much happier in different relationships. I have wonderful step families, members, and a richness and understanding of second chances and grace that maybe I wouldn't have had not having gone through that. So I guess part of the takeaway for me, which you touched on, is the way God hangs in there with us, even when those choices are made.
I think that you are refocusing the text. History, tradition has caused us to focus primarily on Adam and Eve in this text. We focus on their actions more than anything. But the more that I have studied Scripture, and particularly, you know, these first 11 chapters in Genesis, I really think that the purpose of those is more to show us something about God. I think we learn things about humanity, but we probably have erred toward looking at Adam and Eve too much in this passage, whereas I think that's beautiful. You know, we could spend lots of time talking about what did God intend, and there's probably lots of good things on either side of that conversation. But the truth of the matter is, whatever God intended, God's grace prevailed in this situation, because Adam and Eve felt guilty or ashamed, and God tended to that. God cared for that. God provided them a way to be covered and cared for. I've often thought we need to look at this passage in new ways, and maybe that's part of what we do, is that we focus on God's actions of grace and love.
Yeah, and if I could just add from my teaching introduction to religion, we get off into a lot of talking about myth and mythology, not in, you know, that's a myth, that's false, but myth telling the grand story. And I have to remind my classes, being in Mississippi in the Deep South, we seem to have an impression that somewhere along the way God sat some people down and dictated the Bible to them. And I said, no, you know, a good part of the Old Testament was oral tradition. For a long time, people were telling these stories for a reason, long before anybody sat down and wrote them down. And when they came together, and then we get into the, you know, two different creation accounts, but that's a whole other thing. But so maybe, you know, the idea of parenting, I'm thinking out loud here as we're talking about this, that God, maybe that whole idea of helping us understand who God is and who we are, the people who were originally telling the story had to have a concept in their mind. Oh, okay, maybe this is like parenting. When my child does something wrong and feels ashamed, when I was a child and I did something wrong and felt ashamed and hid, my parents went searching for me. I may have gotten in trouble. I may not have. But they cared and they went searching for me, and we worked through it. In addition to rethinking the text, just remind ourselves that these things were told in so many different ways for so long before it ever actually got written down into what we think God dictated to somebody at some point.
Well, thank you so much for an interesting look at a very familiar text. Hopefully, this is a conversation that will continue for you, our listeners, and our friends as you encounter this text in your groups. Thanks, Nikki and Bert and Daniel, for your time and your insights as we've talked about this.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It was good.
Check out our show notes or learn more about Nikki, Bert, Daniel, or me at faithelement.com/podcast. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab. Mm-hmm.